If you have a Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, for our New Testament lesson. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Listen carefully to God's Word. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. May God indeed add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy and inerrant word. Amen. Mark 1:4 says, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance. I have never really liked to stop to ask directions to any place. I would just drive along this way or that way or past where we're going and maybe turn down this way for a little while. I kept going until Emily's, my wife's voice, convinced me that I ought to stop and ask somebody. And so I would. And now, one of the first things I do if I'm going to get lost is I stop and ask. And so it's second nature. It also preserves family peace if you do that. If you ask anybody in the New Testament, how do you get to Bethlehem? They would all tell you the same thing. You go out to the desert, you go down to the River Jordan, and you will find a man there baptizing, standing in the water, baptizing. That's John the Baptist. He will tell you. How do you get to Bethlehem? All the people in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, will all tell you the same thing. Go out to the desert, go down to the River Jordan. There's a man standing in the water there. His name is John the Baptist, and he will tell you how to get to Bethlehem. I don't know about you, but if I want to know how to get to Bethlehem, I mean if I want to know the meaning of Christmas, if there's one person on God's green earth I don't want to ask, it's John the Baptist. Because I know what he's going to say. You see, John the Baptist is really the only tour guide you and I have to Bethlehem. John is a prophet. Now, many people think a prophet is a person who is going to foretell the future. A prophet does do that, but a prophet's job is even much more important than that. A prophet's job is to foretell or declare the word of God. A prophet is a person who will say things like, "Why don't you practice what you preach? Why don't you do the things that you know you ought to do anyway?" They remind you of the things that you really don't want to be reminded of. That was John the Baptist. They never say the right thing. Do you remember a prophet in the Old Testament named Micaiah? Two kings were talking about going out to battle. The king of Israel said, "Well, I'll call my 200 prophets and they'll come in and I'll ask them." And he asked them, and the prophet said, "Yeah, go out and you'll kill the Assyrian army and you'll be all right." But then the king of Judah said, "Well, that's good advice, but let's ask a prophet of the Lord, Micaiah, to come up and we'll get his advice." And Micaiah came up and they asked his opinion, "Should we go out?" Micaiah said, "If you go out, you'll never come back." And the northern king of Israel said, "You see what I mean? He never says anything that is pleasant. He's always gruesome. He always says the wrong things to the right people. I'm not going to ask him." But read the Bible and you'll find that the prophets Jeremiah and Nathan and John the Baptist and even Jesus Christ himself all said the wrong things. I mean, things that got them in trouble, in pits, in jail, in prison, and crucified. John the Baptist was no exception to the rule of those who is a prophet and who said the right or the wrong things, because he went to a king of his day, King Herod Antipas. King Herod Antipas was the son of Herod the Great. Herod the Great was the man that lived during the birth of Jesus. This is his son, Herod Antipas. He was a murderer. He was guilty of incest and God knows what else. He was married to his niece, who was also his sister-in-law. And when somebody said, "You ought not to do that," Herod said, "It's none of your business what I do. My life is my life and I'll run it the way I want to, and nobody can impose their morals on me." But John the Baptist had the crazy idea that morality was serious business and that it was God's business, and it didn't matter who was breaking it, God was going to judge it. And so John the Baptist went to King Herod and he said, "King Herod, you are an embarrassment to this nation and you are an affront to God." And Herod said, "Well, John, you're under arrest. Do you know the rest of the story?" Because Herod lusted for his stepdaughter, he said, "Salome, if you will dance the dance of seven veils, I will give you anything up to half of my kingdom." And so she did, and it pleased him. And so she asked for the head of John the Baptist, and it was brought on a platter. I say morality to John was a serious business, even to the point of accusing and losing his head. That's why we don't like prophets, because they're always saying the wrong thing. Morality is serious. I was watching a television program one time, and an interview was taking place, and it was an interview of divorcees. And the moral issue that they were discussing was this: should my children, the children of the divorcees, know that I am having sex
with the person that I'm dating. It wasn't the moral issue of whether it was right or what God thinks about it, but whether the children should know. So Herod didn't like what John said, and so he cut off his head. Jesus Christ said of John the Baptist, "Among all those who are born of woman, there is no one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist." Are you in the kingdom of God? John said of Jesus in Mark chapter 1, as we've read, verses 7 and 8, "And he preached, saying, There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Do you see what I mean? That John the Baptist is the only one who can tell you and me how to get to Bethlehem. He knew Jesus Christ as no other man knew him. He was his forerunner. And if you want to know the meaning of Christmas, if you want to know how to get to Bethlehem, you've got to go to John the Baptist, so we might as well go ahead and get it over with right here at the beginning. It's the second Sunday in Advent. We're almost there. We have 3 more weeks to go before Christmas, so we might as well go and ask John the Baptist, how do we get there? How do we get there, John? We know what he's going to say. That's why I said if there's anybody that we don't want to ask, it's John. John the Baptist is going to say what he said in verse 4, "If you want to get to Bethlehem, repent." We might ask John the Baptist, "John, why are you always talking about repentance? Why are you always talking about sin and repent?" And I mean, he sounds like the Grinch who stole Christmas. Why can't he say something good to us? Especially, this is Christmas after all. So John might come out of his water and come to us and ask us a question instead. And the question that I think that John would ask you and me is this: why is it that you want to go to Bethlehem? Why is it that you want to discover the meaning of Christmas? Is it to go to Bethlehem and to ask the sweet Jesus to bless your world as it is? That's what Herod wanted. Herod was a man who had his own world. He had his own way. Nobody was going to tell him what to do. He had his own goals in life. He did not want religion interfering, much less Jesus Christ or John the Baptist. But the mentality that you and I might have, maybe some here today, is just like Herod. Religion is all right when we come to Christmas and we recognize the birth of Jesus and we ask God somehow, "Oh, bless my world and make my world sweeter, a kinder, nicer place to be." Like Herod, John the Baptist says to us and asks us, "Do you want Jesus just to bless your world the way it is? Is that why you want to go to Bethlehem and to observe Christmas? Or," old John says, "are you willing to come to Bethlehem and to be changed by the child by the crucified and risen Savior. That is called repentance. That is the only way for you and me to get to Bethlehem. Either we've got to change our own worlds in order to find it, in order to observe Christmas, or else we will never discover the true Bethlehem, the kingdom of God. I wonder how many, like Herod, we have here today. John reminds us that Advent, as we begin this Christmas season, no matter whether we like it or not, Advent is first and foremost a time of repentance. John reminds us that Advent is a time for you and me to practice the very things that Jesus taught. That means if we are alienated from somebody, then this Christmas is a time for you and me to be reconciled to that person. If we've been self-righteous, if we have defended ourselves, if we thought that we were something, now is the time for us to be quiet and try to understand somebody else. If we've been selfish, if we've hoarded possessions or money or time, then Christmas is a time for us to be sensitive to those who have needs all around us. If we put our trust in material things, then Christmas is the time for us to put our trust in God. It is a time of repentance. It is a time when, although you're going one way, repentance means to stop and turn around and go back the other way. How do you go to Bethlehem? How do you discover the meaning of Christmas in your life and in your family? Well, John is there to remind you and to remind me that Christmas is not a myth. Christmas is not a legend. It really happened. The Messiah was born. The kingdom of God established a beachhead on planet Earth. Now there are two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of Herod. It is the kingdom I will do my run my life the way I want to. I will be the captain of my own fate. And as Herod, the Herods of Gadsden or America approach Christmas, they might stop and ask, sentimentally, the baby Jesus to somehow bless their worlds just the way they are. But the other kingdom is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. There is only one way to get into that kingdom. And the way is repentance. I wonder how many of us here this morning will actually find our way to Bethlehem this Christmas. Will you? Will you? Let's pray.